Hello, friends, and welcome into the Jayhawk Talk podcast. I am Kevin. Join with me, as always, is Andrew. Andrew, how you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good, Kevin, but I'm doing especially good after that big win against Texas in what was probably the Jayhawks' best game of the season?
Has to be.
So I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing a lot better than Bill Self was doing in the middle of the second half. Last week against Oklahoma, Bill Self got kind of angry.
Yeah.
So stay tuned later in the podcast. We're going to talk about some anger issues and some anger management for Bill and a lot of the fans. We put out on Twitter what fans have broken in a fit of anger during KU basketball games. So stay tuned for that later on in the podcast, and we'll maybe try to help you out with that a little bit. But after this Texas game, you got to be feeling pretty good. But Kevin, tell us what else we're going to talk about today.
Well, we're definitely going to talk about that Texas and Oklahoma game. We're certainly going to talk a little bit about the rotation that seems to be developing with some starters coming out. And then at the end of the game, maybe some different players getting the load of the minutes. We're going to talk, as you mentioned, about some of the anger management issues all of us Jayhawk fans can work on. And we're definitely looking around the Big 12. Tons of great stories in this conference. And, you know, Andrew, we might take a peek at the rankings, too, because that seems like there's a team on top all alone there now after this weekend. What do you think of that?
I like it.
All right, well, let's get into these games. Let's start with the good old Oklahoma game back on Monday.
You cannot hope or wish good things to happen. You go make them happen because we are in attack mode for the entire 40 minutes. We do that. Have a fun locker room about 2.5 hours.
So that Oklahoma game, Andrew, you were there. It had to be kind of an interesting up and down of the crowd, where it was like a party in the first half and then like anxious cheering in the first part of the second half and then really anxious cheering as they got a little closer and Oklahoma took the lead and then more of a party at the end. Is that right? Is that about right?
Well, I think it was a trilogy in one game. It was kind of like a Star Wars trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just walk through this a little bit. The first act to the first movie, big blow to the Sooners. You know, we take out the Death Star. We're up by 20 points. You know, everybody's cheering. Perfect end to act one. That was like the first 15 minutes or so. Then the second act comes. The Empire Strikes Back comes, and we lose our lead. Luke gets his hand cut off. Han's frozen in carbonite. You know, bad news. We get down by 4. But then we have the capper. Then we have the return of the Jedi. Then the party happens. We blow up the Death Star again.
Hey, spoiler alert. Jesus. Okay. I mean, come on. Yeah.
You haven't seen it. Well, it's a good analogy. And then you have a party at the end because you won by 7. Or you won by 8. So, or you won by 7. So, you know, just like the Ewoks are partying at the end, we were partying at the end of that game. So I think it was, you know, up and down with definitely a huge down middle part. But I think you take a 7-point win against Oklahoma, who I don't know what they were ranked at the time, but they were, you know, ranked pretty high. And they're going to be competitive in the Big 12 at the end. You know, we go to Norman at the end of the season. This was a must have. And at least for certain stretches, we looked pretty incredible.
Yeah, it was definitely a must-have after that Iowa State game, especially. You know, we needed to get back on the saddle. It was good to see that first half. You know, everything was going in, though. You knew it wasn't going to stay like that the whole time. I mean, 8-for-8 to start the game from 3. Like, that's pretty phenomenal. We raced out to a 19-point first-half lead. In fact, I didn't think it even got to 20 at one point, but it was 19.5. And then, as we mentioned, things kind of crashed down, and they came back, but I thought two things stood out to me was, you know, Oubre and Cliff really down the stretch, really controlling the game with a lot of energy, and Oubre has 19 and 9 rebounds, and Cliff has 13 and 13, and, you know, Self has obviously, you know, kind of tried to prove a point a little bit during that Iowa State game. And maybe Cliff heard loud and clear. We've seen good Cliff the last two games, and maybe that's what he needed. Yeah, it was a nice win, a good win, needed to happen. And, you know, after all of that, they still covered the spread and came back and looked like the score we might have thought from the beginning. But anyway, anything else jump out at you from that game?
Well, yeah, just to close out our analogy, I would say that Oubre was the Luke Skywalker of this game, and Cliff Alexander, probably Chewbacca.
Okay, I'll buy that. All right, let's talk about this Texas game, because this is the one fresh on everybody's memory from Saturday. A 75-62 victory down in Austin. There's a ton of storylines from this game. I'm not even sure which one to start with, other than just to say that it was an enormous road win in the Big 12 against a team that everyone thought, you know, could have a legitimate chance to challenge the Jayhawks at the beginning of the season, and still may. I mean, they still, you know, they're coming around. Isaiah Austin is just an absolute monster. And, you know, you could go a lot of directions here, but to me, it's just an enormous win on the road in the Big 12, and one that might, you know, that might be one of them that we look back at the end of the season and go, that was, you know, that's the reason we're sitting here with the ring.
I think so, too. And if you think about it, if you kind of put them in rankings in terms of these are the hardest games of the year, in terms of Big 12, you maybe put this 2 behind at Iowa State. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that's probably close. You know, the at Morgantown is going to be tough. And so, but for a matchup wise for our team, I think this was probably our second hardest game. I'll give you that.
And so, you know, we've played at Ames, played at Austin. Still got to go a couple other places, but we've been to Waco and won in Waco. Seems like it's going to be tough for folks to get away with wins there. So we're going to look back at that one too. This team has proven that it can win on the road, and in the Big 12, that's all that matters. We saw Iowa State go down to Texas Tech and lose. You know, it's hard to win on the road in the Big 12, and if you can go down to Austin and win convincingly like we did, you know, it was back and forth, but towards the end, you could see the KU was the better team. And, you know, the way this season's gone so far, it's kind of a glimmer of hope that this could be a special team, whereas there may have been some questions coming into Big 12 season.
Yeah, and this was one of those games, you know, on paper, you know, we struggle with length. We kept hearing that over and over again. We saw it versus Kentucky, obviously, struggle with that length. But this was a different team than the team that played against Kentucky. This was a team that went right at the length and didn't challenge it by throwing it up, but challenged it with intensity and with energy, and was kicking out and shooting good shots. And, you know, Frank Mason had just another ridiculous game, and it was awesome down the stretch. And you get to see Devontae Graham play well again. Those two on the floor together is a lot of fun. And then Brandon Green, I mean, he's kind of the story to me a little bit, because we've seen him now several times down the stretch with him getting minutes over Seldon, and definitely deservingly so. With a team that struggles to score, that dude can just shoot. I mean, he has no filter. That shit is going no matter who is in his face, no matter who's guarding him, how far he is from the basket, it doesn't matter. And it looks like it's going in every time, and he thinks it's going in every time. And, man, he's been playing really well and definitely deserves his minutes.
Two questions for you. Is he the best shooter on the team?
I don't think it's close. I mean, I think if you look in practice or whatever, and there's no one in the gym, I think a lot of people would take Svi. But in game flow and with a guy in your face, man, I'm taking Brandon over anybody.
Yeah, I think you're right. The second question is he the best shooter on the team since Tyrell Reed?
Maybe Ben McLemore. I mean, McLemore, man, he could fill it up. And that was, I would say McLemore. But he reminds me a little bit of, in some ways, and it's not really the way they shoot or much else, but Brandon Rush a little bit, just to, from the corner and that shot that he puts up. I don't know. For some reason, it kind of channeled a little Brandon Rush to me.
Now, if he can learn how to play defense like Brandon Rush.
Yeah, exactly.
We are Brandon Rush. I call him Brandon Rush. Similar first names, similar pronunciation.
Brandon Rush.
So easily get confused there if you're going to stumble on your words. But just moving on real quick. This is something we haven't seen, I think, in my lifetime and in a lot of people's lifetimes. We only had 3 turnovers the entire game and none in the second half. This is an issue the Jayhawks have, as long as I can remember, struggled with. So what happened? How did we end up with only 3 turnovers?
I think it was a combination of a lot of things, and some of it's on Texas, but I think they just, honestly, Frank Mason controlled the game. Great passing, a good You know, they kind of worked it around the zone there quite a bit. And so it's harder to get steals. And, you know, if you're kind of working it around and looking for angles, and I think they did a really good job of, you know, moving the ball around the perimeter, moving it around, getting that ball to that high post, and then going from there. And you saw that several times with Cliff getting 5 dunks in the game. And that was all just angles. I mean, it was just because they were moving the ball well. They were driving to pass. And that's what you have to do against these, you know, tall teams. And Texas, honestly, I think you would agree, they didn't play tall. They looked, I mean, this was a bad game for them. And maybe it was because we did some things to mess with them. But, you know, I don't know. They didn't look like they were a tall team to the other day. I mean, they probably could have got anything they wanted in the post if they were posting Ridley and doing some things like that down low, and they just weren't. I mean, their offense was Taylor, and that was it. And it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. And you know, whatever, we'll take it. But you know, another Rick Barnes question.
One more thing to go over in terms of stats. You know, we out rebounded Texas by 1. We had 37, they had 36. Did you think we had even a shot to get close out rebounding them? How did that happen? It looks like the most rebounds, you know, came from Cliff. Cliff had an amazing day rebounding. Looks like he had 9. And, you know, some of the other guys contributed as well. I mean, it was a team effort in terms of rebounds. How else are we getting this done? Like, what do we do down low in terms of the rebounding that really made a difference?
I think that, you know, one of the things is we got quite a few offensive rebounds this game, which is something a little different. And then, you know, they missed shots, and that was it. You know, I don't know. It felt like to me they were out rebounding us most of the game, and maybe it just kind of switched at the end. But at the same time, I mean, it's all effort and energy, and this was probably the biggest energy game. And you keep telling, I don't know, it's kind of a buzzword, like Self loves to use it, and I'm not sure I'm like real big into saying, oh, it's such a, you know, he had played with great energy and he had 2 points or whatever, you know, I don't know. But it felt like everyone was flying all over the damn court, and that's what, you know, that's what you need on the road. And and they were doing that, and that definitely leads to rebounds and certainly some energy buckets.
All right, so this is a big road win, but is this the biggest road win in the past couple of years, or where do you rank this in terms of,
you know I'd have to think about
recent
that
history.
One. I'd have to think about that one. I, you know, the Iowa State wins on the road in some hostile environments were pretty huge. You know, especially that Elijah Johnson when he went off that game when I was in attendance. Maybe I'm a little skewed because I was there, but that win was just bonkers. But no, I think this, you know, even Self said it, this is one of the most complete road games they've played since he can remember. And I think it's hard to disagree. I mean, we had 3 turnovers. That's insane. We shot the ball well. We went after rebounds, and it was a good team and heck of a road victory.
Okay, so there were some great performances this week, but let's talk about the best performance of.
Here's the 3. I'm telling you, he's in a zone right now. I think you could put a blindfold on him. I've got him on their feet here, Lawrence.
That is a player. I'm a player. I'm a player.
I think there's a lot of options here, Andrew. It was a good week. Had some nice stat lines out there. But I'll throw out Oubre against Oklahoma, going for 19 off 6 of 11 shooting, 9 rebounds and 2 steals. Who you got?
I think I'm going to go with Cliff Alexander in the Texas game. Had 15 points, 9 rebounds. But most importantly, he had 5 dunks. And, you know, I'm a connoisseur of dunks, so I'd like to see that from Cliff, but that also means we're scoring easy buckets. And if we're scoring easy buckets, we're definitely going to have a pretty good game. A couple other things. Brandon Green certainly was a spark plug in that Texas game. When he came in, it certainly provided some energy off the bench, and that's kind of what he's around for this season. Went 4 for 6 from 3, had 14 points off the bench. And it looked like whenever he got the ball, it just looked dangerous. You know, he was going to take a shot. He's always looking to take a shot, but they were just going in and kind of spooked Texas a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. A couple other, you know, maybe some honorable mentions here. I think we'll just go ahead and put that second half against Texas, just everybody, just the whole half as a performance of the week with 0 turnovers. I don't think there was really anything negative to come of that second half. It was just a complete half of basketball. And honestly, the first half was pretty darn good, but that second half was incredible. And then another one, let's talk about this for a second, the trailer hustle play. We've seen a few of these now this season, Vine-worthy hustle plays, you know, like the one with Seldon saving the ball out of bounds and then turning into a basket on the other end. This game we had the Jamari trailer block, then turns over, then dive in the middle of the floor, then the and one from Frank Mason, all in, you know, one little exchange. And I think Self called it, you know, one of the best, I don't know what he said, something like a best hustle play he's ever seen or something like that. But, you know, Jamari has 2 points, plays 20 minutes, but impacts the game in those ways. What do you think of that play?
If basketball was played more on the ground, like if it had more of a rugby element to it, Jamari Traylor would be Michael Jordan. Like Jamari Traylor would be first pick overall. Unfortunately, basketball is not always played on the ground, but when it is, you can always count on Jamari to do something crazy, you know, and it was kind of out of nowhere. If you're watching on TV, you didn't even see him coming. It was just,
yeah, not pictured.
And then suddenly, like, there's this like Superman, this blur swoops in, knocks the ball out. Like, who was that? What was that? What kind of magical human being just knocked that ball free to Frank Mason? Turns out it was Jamari. This is not the first time we've seen him do that. Won't be the last, but it's probably the most entertaining and one of the more fun plays I've seen that I can remember. So, you know, those are plays that you can get extra points. And, you know, in close games, that could be the difference.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too. It's not just the points that came of it, but I mean, you see the bench and you see Self just like going bonkers. Like that's the stuff that gets everyone fired up, really changes momentum. And, you know, it changed the game. And the Texas fans just went, you know, berserk because they were booing, thinking that, you know, something had happened, but really it was all energy. And that was awesome. Andrew, let's talk about maybe some more negative things. The WTFs of the week. News is there's not a whole lot to be negative about this week after 2-0 against two ranked teams, one on the road. But I think we probably ought to touch on a couple things. One to me that jumps out was that kind of second half crash versus Oklahoma, where we just, you know, pissed away a 19 point halftime lead. That can't happen.
That
right?
can't happen, especially against a good team. There was a time in the second half, just to go back to it, you know. 10 minutes left when, you know, equivalently Luke Skywalker gets his hand cut off, where I thought we were going to lose. Like, I thought the way we're playing, there's no way we can, you know, we're not playing with any effort or the ball just wasn't going in and it was going in for them. So I really thought we were going to lose, but, you know, credit to them. They put it back together, got some momentum, got some points to drop. End up being a good game, but against, you know, in the tournament, if you're not at home, you're not going to win those games. You know, you're not going to get that extra energy. You know, if you're playing at the Prudential Center in the tournament or playing at a random place in the tournament. So, you know, you got to know that this team has that streakiness in them, and kind of work to minimize that. And I don't know how you do that, playing different rotations or trying different guys out, but definitely something to be worried about, but also encouraging that they can overcome that and end up getting a pretty solid victory.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the good news is they did come back and get it, you know, put it all back together again, but it's really hard to lose a 19 point halftime lead in 9 minutes. I mean, that's what happened. You have to really, 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 you know, suck to drop that in 9 minutes, and that's what they did. I mean, just think about that. You're minus 19 in 9 minutes of play. That's hard to do, but whatever. They got the win. That's what matters. Just a little concerning, though. The other thing, Andrew, that's jumping out to me a little bit is, you know, and this has been somewhat consistent so far this year. We've brought this up several times in the WTF, and that is the play of Wayne Seldon Not a great week for him. You know, 2 for 9 in 29 minutes against Oklahoma and 2 for 6 in 27 minutes against Texas. Those two numbers are drops in his minutes compared to the rest of the season. And that's because at the end of the game, he was not in there. He was pulled because some other people were playing better. And we've seen Devontae Graham step up and be a big part of a, you know, closing out a victory. We've seen Brandon Green when we need to score. And that's got to come at the expense of somebody. You're not going to take Frank out, and it's going to be Oubre or Wayne, and it's been Wayne. What do you think about
this?
You
know, just to give Wayne a little bit of credit, he did give Buddy Hield all he could take in that Oklahoma game. And when Seldon...
And he scored 23 points.
Well, that wasn't completely his fault. When Hield was on Seldon, we were doing the best defensively. When Hield was being guarded by someone else is really kind of when he started to go off. So, I mean, I trust Seldon more guarding, you know, the best player on the other team than anyone else. So, I mean, knowing that, I think you go into kind of how things are going to shake out of if you need some more defensive presence in terms of guarding one single guy, you'll see Wayne. But if you don't and you need some scoring, I think you're going to see more Brandon Green. And if there's turnovers are an issue like against West Virginia, I think you're going to see more Devontae Graham. So his minutes may go down a little bit, but you know he's still useful on the floor defensively and to a certain extent offensively. But he's
I'm with you on the defensive side.
He's struggling offensively, and you just kind of have to recognize that if you need the shooter in there, Brandon Green's going to be your guy. If you need more ball handling, Devontae Graham's going to be your guy.
I'm just glad that Self has finally kind of open the door to welcome the opportunity to play other guys over him. Because we saw for a while there, he wasn't really getting taken out when he was struggling. He had a much longer leash than everyone else on the team, it seemed like. And now he doesn't. And that's good, I think, because not necessarily for Wayne, but because we have a lot of depth. It's one of those things that we have this year that we haven't had in years past necessarily. And, you know, we've got two good guards on the bench and three if you count Svi, but man, I think we've seen the last of Svi in the rotation this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, which brings us to the rotation. You know, Bill likes to have an 8-man rotation. And every year we say, you know, how's he going to get this paired down to 8? How's it going to work? There's just too many guys. Well, you know, the past several games, we've consistently played just 8 guys with Cliff, Brandon, and Devontae coming off the bench. And these other guys, Landon Lucas not playing, Svi not getting any minutes. So it looks like we've pared it down to 8 guys, you know, and towards the end of the game, you've got these guys on the bench playing, you know, over guys like Seldon, over guys like Jamari. Is this the way we're going to go?
I think so, man. I think so. And I think that's okay, honestly, because, you know, for a while there, we saw a Landon starting over Cliff because, you know, there was some question about whether Cliff would come out and just, I think, honestly, the point of it was Cliff's going to come out and have a quick foul, and then, you know, that's the end of Cliff for a while. I like Jamari starting. I think he's, you know, he could settle things down early. But I want Cliff to play as many and preferably more minutes than Jamari. And if he starts, he starts. If he doesn't, he doesn't. That's fine. But what we've seen, you know, the entire second half pretty much, Cliff Alexander's playing in the ballgame. I mean, that's what it's, I guess, important, you know, more so than the starters. But kind of interesting if you think about it. We haven't seen this a lot from Self where, you know, he's starting other guys and then, you know, to close the game, we're seeing completely different players. And it's now starting to be kind of a consistent thing, which is okay, I think. But I'm with you. I think Wayne, you know, brings some things to the team. He's got a little bit of leadership, but on offense, he is an absolute liability right now. And it sucks because I was expecting big things from him this year. I really was, and I think a lot of people were. I don't know if he's just still hurt or what. Everyone kind of talks about his athleticism just not being there. I mean, he misses layups, and that's not a thing that's, you know, we kind of joke about it, like he's missing dunks and missing layups. But that's because either he's not getting lift that he thought he's been getting, or he's slower, or he's, you know, he's a big boy. I mean, he's probably 240 pounds out there playing at 6'5". I don't know. It's just not there this year, and it's unfortunate. Hopefully he gets a turnaround.
All right, let's move on to the water cooler conversation and talk about something I've been looking forward to talk about, a little bit of KU fan violence and aggression when things aren't going our way, you know, brought to us by Bill Self. But let's go to the water cooler conversation.
Water cooler conversations.
Water cooler conversations.
Okay, so during the Oklahoma game, Bill Self was kneeling down by the bench, and this is in the midst of the epic collapse in the second half, and he starts banging on the advertisement thing, the LED screen, and he hits it pretty hard three times, ends up breaking it. There's a couple photos that you can see on Twitter of the advertisement either showing up fuzzy, staticky, or just a whole entire panel not working at all. So, you know, Bill's got some anger issues that he probably needs to get worked out a little bit during the game. But more importantly, so do KU fans. Last night on Twitter, we, you know, asked a question. You sent it out there. What have you done or what have you broken because of a KU basketball game? And we got an overwhelming response, maybe 60, 70, 80 responses.
I think it's like closer to 100
responses. And you people are crazy. You people are like, how are you functioning if you let games like this affect you this
bad?
Now,
wait a minute. I'm going to defend our folks here. What have you never broken anything?
Not like this.
All right, because I've done some things I'm not proud of during KU.
Well, tell
KU
us what
losses.
You've done. Tell us, give me your story.
So my go-to, because I'm usually wearing a hat. I'm usually wearing a KU hat, as you know. My go-to is to just throw my hat, like when I get upset. And sometimes
that's
I
nothing.
Hit. No, I agree. That's my go-to. That's stage one. Last year I broke the remote in the hotel at the D in Las Vegas. During the Stanford game, I threw that at the bed. I was thinking it would hit the pillow, but it bounced off the bed and hit the wall. So that one wasn't my finest moment, but I thought deserving, you know, during that game. But, you know, I haven't broken walls, and that's what we're seeing a lot of from a lot of you guys.
Let's go through some of these. I kind of did some tallying up. It looks like, you know, out of the 80 or 90 or however many responses we got, it looked like four of you have broken TV remotes. It looks like six of you have broken your phone by slamming it down or spiking it into the ground, breaking your phone, either shattering it or just shattering the screen. And here's my favorite. 17 of you responded to us indicating that you had punched a hole in a wall or punched a hole in a door or some sort of you punching and a hole developing in some sort of physical structure. That's 17 of you. A couple of you had mentioned that you've broken your hand after this happened, that somebody did it to a cinder block wall.
Ow.
I'm sure that the wall didn't break, but the hand broke. That's crazy. Although I have witnessed this. I was at a friend's house, and he's a K-State guy. This was in law school. And he broke his hand. Like, I don't know how he thought he was going to win. Like, this was during, I think this was 2010, where we just had an amazing team. And he punched a hole in the wall, broke his hand. So, and I didn't know it was broken, but he shows up at school the next day with a cast on his hand.
I
thought it was amazing. but let's wrap this up a little bit. A couple of you have, in fact, three of you have broken a ceiling fan, being so angry after a KU game. But I think one of them was somebody jumped up and fist pumped the air after the Chalmers shot, and then they cut open their hand after the Chalmers shot. So that's a good way.
That's a good way, yeah.
Still an injury.
I like this one. I replies, I broke my own glasses. I was so angry with something that I grabbed them from my face and threw them on the ground.
Okay, so I'm sure that there's a lot of other things out there that you could grab and throw. But you take your own glasses.
I wouldn't do that
one. And you throw them and break them. A couple other ones during the Bradley game ripped down kitchen blinds. The corner of the blinds hit me in the head, cut my head, and I had to get two staples in my head. This comes from
at
EBKBOP on Twitter.
That's pretty good.
A couple other ones. My college roommate of mine kicked a bar stool through our living room window after the Michigan game. I about did that. That Michigan game almost caused me to do that.
There's a lot of broken hearts, you know, which I understand too. I broke my that game broke my heart. There's quite a few of those, which, you know, I'll get on board with that.
And then Ryan Landreth on Twitter said, two remotes, a vase, a phone, and a glass. I don't know if he meant that he did it all in the same game or if that's just his list of broken items. I hope it's all in one game because that'd be an epic Tasmanian devil level of destruction.
Yeah, it would. Well, these are all great, and you can certainly keep them coming. I retweeted some of my favorites. I'll do some more because it just seems to get more people talking about it, which is kind of funny. I did like the one from Jimmy Caprio who said he broke something after the Central Michigan game, and then he said, I'm still amazed that I once cared enough about KU football to break something. And that's sad, but, you know, hopefully we'll get back to that point where you care so much that you'll break something after a KU football loss.
It just shows our level of passion that we're willing to get this violent and this angry. However, I think we need to all just chill out a little bit. And if we ever feel the need to do this again, let's just go through a little simple meditation exercise to get ourselves calmed down. Kevin, do you have any meditation music for us?
Yeah, let me get you a little meditation music here.
All right, so if we ever feel this angry again, I want us to walk through this. Is the music going?
It's going. Oh, there we go.
Okay, so the music's going. So it's just take a deep breath, breathe in, breathe out, just repeat a couple things if you feel like getting angry. For example, we have 4 McDonald's All-Americans on the team. We have Bill Self, best coach in basketball. Breathe in. Breathe out. You know, this team hasn't even peaked yet, but it still looks like the best team in the Big 12. Breathe in. Breathe out. Just like Batman, Frank Mason may not be the point guard we want, but he's the point guard we need. Breathe out. We had 3 turnovers the last game.
3.
Out. All right, let's finish up with a couple of mantras, a couple of ohms. Rock-chock. That's kind of a mantra anyway, right?
Yeah,
just do that. Are we wrapping up? Is our music done?
I don't know. I actually, yeah. Yep, music's done.
Music's done. Okay, so just go through that little exercise. Get yourself calmed down.
Man, I feel so much better.
Maybe you won't punch a wall and break your hand if it's cinder block or you'll have to do a bunch of damage to yourself. So just wanted to run through a little exercise. And Bill, if you ever feel like you need to break a little advertising LCD screen, just walk yourself through that little exercise.
Mm-hmm. That's all you need to do. All right, Andrew, let's move on to talk a little Big 12.
How about playing a little defense? You ever heard of that one, Stan?
BCS.
Dollar signs.
What a crazy week in the Big 12. You know, we were sitting there at the Turn 2 Lounge in Hollywood Casino on Saturday. You, myself, and Parker, you can find him at pay_heat on Twitter, a good friend, Parker, friend of the podcast. And we were sitting there watching the KU game, and we kept seeing this TCU West Virginia thing going on. We're like, what's going on over there? And then we, you know, right after the game, we start hearing about Tech is way up on Iowa State. And just everything was kind of snowballing a little bit. We were so excited after the KU game. Next thing you know, TCU is forcing overtime with West Virginia. And that was insane. Of course, they didn't get it done, but a crazy game nonetheless. And then probably the biggest story of the week was Tech beating Iowa State, rushing the court. Red Raiders jumping up and down. Good to see. What do you think the biggest storyline was this week?
I think it's the road victories or the road difficulties that teams are having, specifically Iowa State at Texas Tech. Texas Tech, before this game, hadn't looked didn't look like it could beat a high school team.
Like they have 20 looked, to TCU.
They have looked so bad. But it just goes to show you that it's hard to win on the road anywhere. Texas Tech played as best as they could and got that victory over Iowa State and looked good doing it. Now, when I think they go to Ames, I think they're going to lose by 100. But it just goes to show you how hard it is to win in the Big 12. You know, a couple other things we can see is, you know, TCU went to Morgantown and almost won. Or is it vice versa?
Yeah, no, it was in Morgantown.
Yeah, it was in Morgantown. And so, you know, that'd be a crazy win if they could have got that. Didn't pull it out. But I think, you know, just to keep an eye on going forward is, you know, these teams that, you know, in a neutral side or just in how you view them, you might think that this team would be an overwhelming favorite. But if it's played at their house, they're going to have a shot to win.
Yeah, I agree. And it was a fun week, though, for us, certainly seeing Iowa State drop one. And honestly, that game to me, Andrew, kind of wiped out all the, you know, positive progress they had made beating us on Monday. Would you agree? Or on last Saturday? Would you agree with that? I mean, that.
Yeah, the Tech it kind of just goes to show, yeah, in terms of, right. If we get that win in Lubbock, you know, that puts us up as a win that we get that they didn't get. Yeah. Well, we got to go and do it, but sure. It gives us that opportunity.
I don't know. You got to win that game if you're going to win the Big 12, is all I'm saying.
Right.
Okay, so let's look at the standings real fast, because this is always fun. KU is 5-1 out in front. K-State is in second at 5-2. We've got West Virginia and Iowa State tied at 4-2. And then Texas and Baylor, 3-3. We got the Oklahoma schools both at 3-4. TCU 1-5, and Tech 1-6. So what do we know? We know you got to win your home games, Andrew. And with that, let's talk a little power rankings.
The power lies on their side. Go, go, Power Rankers!
All right, Andrew, last week, Iowa State was number one in our standings. And these are actually kind of fun to see how much we move them around. Iowa State was number one, KU 2, Texas 3, Oklahoma 4, West Virginia 5, and then the last 5, we had K-State, Baylor, OSU, TCU, Tech. Now, Andrew, I think you're okay with this. I moved KU to number one this week. Are you on board with that after that win?
Absolutely.
All right. So we got KU number one. Now, here's the next one. Who would you have number two?
I think I still go Iowa State. You know, that's a bad loss to Texas Tech, but, you know, they beat us, and they're still not too far behind. Still going with the Cyclones number two.
I agree. Now, number three I struggled with as well, but I put Texas. Where are you at on three?
I'm fine with that. I'm not going to argue, but just to go down a little bit, then you go West Virginia, and then K-State. I think we've got to give the Wildcats a little more respect. You know, they are 5-2, which is something that I would have never guessed. You know, they get a big win against Oklahoma State this weekend. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what they did to turn it around, but they've got themselves a nice little team in Manhattan.
So you're putting K-State above West Virginia at four?
I think so.
Ooh, I can't do it. Look, I moved them up a little bit. I moved them up from 6 to 5. That's pretty good. All right, fair enough. No complaints there. It's this whole kind of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is pretty brutal to rank. But I've got West Virginia, K-State. You've got K-State, West Virginia. Do you have Baylor next or OU?
See, that's tough. I think I still go OU.
Even though Baylor beat OU this weekend.
Even though Baylor beat OU this weekend. Okay. You know, that was in Waco, so there's something to think about there. And then to close it out, then I think you go Oklahoma State, TCU, and Texas. Tech still stays at the bottom, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, TCU beat them by like 20 points. So, I don't know. I think Tech stays at the bottom. If they go get another win, we might see some movement down there in the basement. Also goes to show you, honestly, I kind of like that TCU and Tech are playing better. Because we got some good game film to show our guys. Because that's something we would do. We'd go down there and lose. Like, just like, you know, we did that TCU game a few years ago. It's good to see them playing well so we can get a little, I don't know, have a little game film to show them that it's not a bye week. I think, Andrew, I will say this. I can wager that this power rankings will look far different again next week, because it's happened every single time this week we've done this, that they just keep getting jumbled as teams continue to beat up on each other. But I wanted to bring that up. Is this league as good as everyone says it is, you know, or is it just a bunch of, you know, like pretty good teams that just beat the crap out of each other? Are we seeing, is this like the best league in the NCAA that people, you know, keep talking about, or is it just, you know, a bunch of really, you know, okay teams? Where do you fall in this?
It's the best league. And, you know, people have also said that the ACC is up there, and I totally agree. The ACC's got, you know, four teams that are in the top 12 or so. And they're saying that, you know, that's a detriment to the Big 12, that we don't have those teams, you know, up there in the top five. It's going to be tough for teams in the Big 12 to even get up there, because we're going to beat up on each other. And just that's the nature of how these rankings are going to work. So, you know, if you put a couple of those other teams in the ACC where you can beat up on the Georgia Techs, where you can, with all apologies to Danny Manning, beat up on the Wake Forests, beat up on the Florida States, you know, they're going to get some wins under their belt, you know, string those together and maybe get up into the top five. But it's going to be so difficult to do that in the Big 12, because you're constantly facing top 25 teams. You're going to face five in a row at some point during the year. And, you know, that's going to kill your momentum. But I would put, you know, this league up against anybody. I'd put it up against the ACC straight up. And I think we do pretty well.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that I'm not sure there's a right answer here, but I think the answer will show itself maybe in the tournament this year. Big 12 hasn't shown terribly great in the tournament. If we get five teams through to the, you know, through the second weekend or something, or even four teams, you know, end up in the Sweet 16, then I think we can start talking about how, you know, how great the Big 12 was this year. But if we have a bunch of first round losses and you know, don't really show in the tourney, I think a lot of people will kind of write it off a little bit as just one of those deals where we had a lot of pretty good teams and no real good teams. I will say that top to bottom, from 1 to 10, there's no other league in basketball that comes close, you know, from a competitive standpoint, 1 through 10. And I don't think that can be debated. I'm not sure anybody is. I just wanted to bring that up. Andrew, let's talk about the matchups this coming week. Called up the homies and I'm asking y'all, which part are y'all playing? All right, on Monday, we got Texas at Iowa State in a huge big Monday game for both of these teams. Probably the biggest game of the week. Who do you have in that game?
I go Iowa State. Just, it's tough to win in Ames, but you know, very contrasting styles between these two teams. I don't know who can win that chess match, but I think I give the edge to Hoiberg if it's in Ames. Just because, you know, they're going to play their style and that's going to work better at home.
I don't know. I just, for some reason, I still think Texas has been better than they are or than they've shown. And I don't know, maybe the KU game woke them up a little bit as far as their style of play has gone. And I don't know, they're just going to have such an advantage down low. I think I still go Iowa State, but I'm a lot closer on that. I'm going to take Texas in the line because it's probably going to be something stupid. Let's talk about Tuesday. Andrew, we've got West Virginia at K-State. Another good one. Who do you got there?
That's going to be tough. You know, it's Huggyville going home. Uh-huh. And by home, I mean the place he stayed 9 months at in Manhattan. There won't be any of the Huggyville shirts being worn in Bramlage. But I think I go West Virginia finally getting a win, or finally taking K-State out at home. But, you know, that'll be a fun game just to see how K-State reacts to, you know, that immense pressure that the Mountaineers put on everybody.
I agree, and I'm taking West Virginia on the money line in that game because I bet K-State will be favored by a handful, maybe even. So let's talk Baylor, Oklahoma State, Baylor at OSU on Tuesday as well. Another good one. Who you got here?
I'm going to default to the home team. I'm
Really?
Go the Cowboys. Yeah.
I think I'd take Baylor, but I'm not in love with it. On Wednesday, we've got KU at TCU. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Tech at OU. I think we'll both take OU there. On Saturday, we've got a good lineup as well. K-State at KU certainly will be a fun one. And then Tech goes to Morgantown, TCU at Iowa State, Texas at Baylor. What do you got there?
Oh, that's close. I'm going to go the Longhorns.
Yeah, I think I'd say,
even though I'm not sticking to my home team thing here, but I think I go Longhorns. Baylor's gonna bounce been back.
Better and better, too. I think that win at Baylor is just going to keep looking better that we had. And then we've got good old OU at OSU. What do you got in that one?
Bedlam and Stillwater. I'm going to say OU. I think OU is just a better team.
I'm with you there. All right. So those are the matchups this week. A lot going on in the Big 12, which is the case every single week. Let's talk about some of the games that KU is playing and start it off with KU at TCU. TCU, as we mentioned, 1-5 in the Big 12, but just took West Virginia to the ropes at West Virginia. They are up to 44 in KenPom, despite their 1-5 Big 12 record. And what do you think of this TCU team? How do you think they match up?
You know, they're a lot better than in previous years. They did get a win against Texas Tech. Would have been a great win if they could have pulled that out in Morgantown. Just kind of let it slip away and celebrated too early. And a crazy foul in the last second to lose that game. A couple guys to keep an eye out for. Kian Anderson, he's a 5'11 guard. Be a great matchup with Frank Mason. He's averaging 14 after 17 that he averaged last year. And a couple guys, Kavar Shepherd, down low is always big. You know, we recruited him.
Right.
So it'll be a good matchup. This is at TCU, and they're not playing at their traditional home court. They are playing at the Fort Worth Independent High School District Stadium that holds, I think, 4,100 people, and they still can't even sell it out. So be looking for a lot of Jayhawks, a lot of Jayhawk blue in that small little high school stadium down there in Fort Worth.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good test, just to honestly a good mental test for KU, because they should win this game by double digits. And if they go down and take care of business, they will, you know, kind of show to me that they passed that mental test. If they take it to, you know, a handful, you know, at the end, if it's close or, you know, within a few points or even, you know, 5 to 6, 7 points, that's going to, you know, be one of those things where you go, okay, maybe that, you know, they didn't, you know, took it for granted a little bit. But, you know, as you mentioned, tough to win on the road. We'll see what happens down in TCU. And then, of course, on Saturday, as we mentioned, K-State comes to KU, the old sunflower showdown, as they say. You know, Andrew, it's kind of funny. You were talking about how much improved K-State was. KenPom hasn't really rewarded them too much. They're still at 68. In his rankings, but they're 5-2 in the Big 12. They obviously had a huge win at OU. They beat Baylor and Oklahoma State at home, you know, and they actually kept it pretty close with Iowa State when they went up to Ames. So as you mentioned, they're playing very well recently. Foster's kind of coming on a little bit. You know, Williams has been good. Gibson, I still think, has, you know, more to offer. I think he should be playing better than he has, but, he'll be a load in the post. What do you think about this K-State game?
You know, it just comes a couple days after Kansas Day. I think a day after Kansas Day. So an appropriate time to play that game, or 2 days after Kansas Day. You know, they've kind of put together a good Big 12 season so far. And obviously that's shown in their record. But they are playing incredibly well. KenPom's not going to reward them too much because that's more of an aggregate statistic that takes into account the entire season. And if you take the entire season, you know, they had everything go wrong that could possibly go wrong in the non-conference. You know, losing at home to Texas Southern, a couple other terrible losses. Marcus Foster looked like he was going to leave the team. It was that bad. But
yeah.
This will be a good team coming into the Fieldhouse. 3 weeks ago, I would have told you my worry level about this game was 0.001. percent. Maybe it's moved up to 3%, but I still think we get the win.
I agree. There's one thing we know about K-State games at Allen Fieldhouse. Usually it goes pretty well for the Jayhawks. It's a different team, we'll see, but hopefully that will be the case once again, history repeating itself. I think we win by double digits, and I hope that happens both times this week. On paper, a little easier week than last week with the Oklahoma-Texas matchups, but you still got to go get those wins, and we will see if the Jayhawks could do so. Up on our next show next Sunday, we will be talking about these games, the TCU and K-State games, and also previewing a huge week next week where Iowa State comes into Lawrence for a big Monday matchup, and then KU goes on the road to Stillwater in another huge game for that Saturday. So we've got next week, Iowa State and Oklahoma State, two big games coming up there. Hopefully we can get a little rematch, a positive rematch against Iowa State. I think we're due that one. And we're still working on details for the KU Jayhawk Talk watch party, but we got some positive movement this week. We're looking at the KU at Tech game on February 10th. It's an 8:00 start. It's a Tuesday. We don't have the venue lined up quite yet, but that's where we are looking at for that Tuesday. So if you know, you got to get the babysitter, get it locked up. If you got to take off work, do so. We'd love to see you. More details on that certainly to come. Andrew, you got anything else before we start to wrap this up and get out of here?
I just want to remind everybody, in case you get too angry, in case Frank Mason does something that drives you absolutely up the wall, take a deep breath, go back to the middle of this podcast, and just relax. Just chill. It's a good season. This is shaping up to be a pretty special season. I like where we're headed.
Things are coming together for sure. Reminder, if you want the podcast coming to you in the middle of the night in your sleep, you don't even have to do anything. Go in and subscribe on iTunes and leave us a comment, a rating as well. That really helps us to get the podcast out to new listeners. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast next Sunday. Keep doing your ohms.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us, they know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel, they know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same
for
the
fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby.
All them years prayers that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get the cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness man, we've been waiting weeks now, if you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it.